Session number 10398, Reel 10.
When we were already in prison, after we were sentenced to life imprisonment, sometimes we were allowed to get together, you know, especially when we are queuing up for food. And in times like this, we could talk with our general secretary, and we proposed to him that we should get our relatives to start a campaign asking for our release, because we are not really criminals. We are just as patriotic as any Filipino citizen. All we want is independence of our country. We want better conditions for the workers and the peasants. We want agrarian reforms. And, you know, enumerate the things that you want for your country. This is not being a criminal. I mean, we could give these arguments for our relatives to use in a campaign for our release. So what Bill and I propose that we get our relatives together, form a group and campaign for our release. Now, our general secretary objected to that. He thought that the authorities would think that we could not stand prison life, that we were not tough enough. That's his outlook. But we argued with him. We said to him, well, how long do you think we will stay here? We must do everything we can to get out of prison. And he said, no, that's not... Well, we told him, now, if you don't want to start a campaign, can we, Bill and I, can we start a campaign for ourselves? It's up to you, he said. So we did. We got my sister to write to a comrade of Bill in the States. Now, Bill has a buddy, you know, very close friend in the United States who is also a communist, and his name is Lawrence Emery. My sister wrote to him and told him about our situation, and immediately Lawrence Emery responded. He formed a committee. He formed a committee called the Committee for the Release of the Pomeroys, and he worked on it, you know, with all the effort and the will that he could muster, because he got a good group going, because he's a writer and a journalist. He got this campaign in different progressive newspapers, especially in the newspaper he worked for, which is called The Guardian. And he got a journalist to come to the Philippines and interview both of us. And this man happened, his name is John Roberts. This man happened to, during the war, to fight in the Western Front, in Europe. But he still has his credentials as a captain of the army, of the American army. So when he came to the Philippines, you know, he used this credit of his to tell the authorities, I'm a captain of the army, you know, during the Western Front, and I did this, I did that. But I got to see these people because I want to know what they're doing. He was able to see Bill. He was able to see me and interview us. And he got all the information he needed to start a really good campaign for us. So this committee was formed. And the campaign started, and it was worldwide. Because we learned from my sister, who comes to visit us in prison, that even this campaign reached Britain, reached Europe, reached Cuba. And there was a statement in the press by Fidel Castro, who said, he wrote to the president of the Philippines and said, if you don't want these people, William and Celia Pomeroy, because you think they're criminals, we want them. Please send them to us. That's what Fidel Castro said. And there is a man from Sweden who is a counselor in the Swedish council. I forgot his name now. John Tachman. He's also a communist. He started a campaign in Sweden for us. And he also wrote to the president of the Philippines saying, please free these people. They're not criminals. And if you don't want them in your country, they are welcome in our shores. You know, things like this. And there was started a campaign in Britain, because we met all these people when we came here who wrote to the president of the Philippines about us, you know. And when John Roberts began his campaign, you know, in every release of the newspaper, he had something about us. This started the ball rolling. After 3 years, his campaign was so effective that during the 10th year, of our incarceration, we were released from prison. And the most important factor in our release is the campaign of American comrades, this Lawrence Emery.
So when you were released, you came straight to Britain?
No, not right away, because Bill was deported from the Philippines. And the condition of his release is he must never return to the Philippines. I tried to follow him to the United States, you know, so we can live together. But when I went to the American embassy, I was told by the consul that I can never go to the United States, he says, now and at any time in the future. And I said, why? Because you're a communist. If you follow, he says, the Walter McCarran Act, and if you undertake anti-communist activities for 5 years, you will be allowed to enter the United States. So I just left him. I just didn't even answer, tell him anything. I just left the embassy.
So you were forced to choose a third country other than the Philippines or United States?
Yeah, so Bill and I were writing to each other, and we decided that Bill suggested we come to England, because he says from what he knows, of all the English-speaking countries, that Britain is the most lenient and the most democratic. Because he knows that if we go to Canada or Australia or New Zealand, the immigration authorities there are more callous, more restrictive. But he knows from reading that the British government is more or less more lenient towards refugees or people who are seeking asylum. So we decided to meet here. Bill was already in the United States. He Lawrence Emery accepted him in his home, and he began writing this book, The Forest.
And did you find it easy to get into Britain, or was it difficult?
No, it was not difficult at all. What happened is when I got to the port, to the airport, I was detained at the airport. All the other passengers were allowed to go. And I don't know who is the man questioning me, but he must belong to the immigration. He must be an immigration official. And he asked me, why did you come here? Because my visa is only for 3 months. Because I did not say I'm a tourist. I said I want to stay in Britain. Yes. And he said, why do you want to stay here? So I did not lie. I explained my whole past to him, what happened. I want to meet my husband here because I want to live here with my husband. I can't live in the Philippines, I explained to him. I cannot live in the Philippines without him. He's in the United States. He's coming over here. We'll meet here. I said, who are the people you know here in Britain? I know nobody, but at least the people who supported us are Bertrand Russell, C.D. Lewis, you know, important names. Stephen Bain, who was at that time the leader of the church in London.
Oh, this is true.
This is true. These people wrote to the Philippine president demanding, in fact, our release. You know, I mean, demanding that I be given a passport and a visa to come here. Important names. You should see the names of people who campaigned for us in the United States here. Really wonderful people.
So what did the immigration official say to you?
He said, okay, off you go. I was allowed to go. And then I met Bill. And Bill was also interrogated, he said, before he was... He came here 5 days earlier than I did. He was also interrogated. He said almost the same things. He did not lie about... He said we were communists.
And have you had any problem with the authorities since you've been in England?
Well, since we came here, the people we sought out immediately are comrades. Luckily, Bill knows a British comrade whose name is Charles Doyle, because he was deported from the United States for his activities in the United States. Well, he contacted Charles Doyle, and through him, it was an open door, you know, for us to meet many, many people who are progressive. Then this comrade suggested that when we apply for a renewal of our visa, we approach Fenner Brockway to support us and endorse our stay here. So we went to see Fenner Brockway. He was very nice. He made out an affidavit saying these people are decent people. Please give them access and please let them stay. And I think he did this for us two or three times. After we were here, after we stayed here, what is that? The Council for Immigrant, they said to us, now that you've been here for a year, you don't have to ask the help of Fenner Brockway. You just make your application and you will be accepted because you have no record of, you have no bad record here. So we did not approach Fenner Brockway anymore. We just filed our papers and they were accepted. And after 4 years, we became permanent residents here. It's just that you don't engage in any activity which they consider subversive.
And has your life here in Britain been a success with settling down in Britain?
Oh, it's wonderful. Britain has been a wonderful home for us. At first, I came here with trepidation, knowing not what I'll find. I thought we will become very poor, won't have a job, and since this is a strange country to me, although I'm quite familiar with Britain, I've read much about Britain, I've seen films about Britain, but still, you're going to a foreign country which is miles and miles away from home, and I know the culture is different, but I was determined to adjust myself as long as I'll be with Bill. Well, when we first came here, luckily for Bill, there is a progressive foundation, a foundation in the United States called the Rabinowitz Foundation, which is very progressive. Friends of his suggested that he ask for a grant from that foundation so that he can write a book about the Philippines. And since the head of this foundation is a person known to Bill personally, his grant was accepted immediately because he knew that Bill is a writer. So all that Bill had to do is write an outline of what he's going to write about. And when it is presented to the board, then if it's approved, he gets the grant. And immediately he got $5,000 as a, you know, beginning. He can ask for more if he needs some more. So when he came here, he had money. He had $5,000. And in fact, he came here by ship called the United States, which is a luxury ship. And he in fact, he wanted to impress the authorities here that he's not a poor man. So he came on board this ship, which is called the United States. And he took first class. So when we came here, we had a flat, very nice flat in the middle of London. And then we met so many progressive people who gave us all kinds of suggestions, how to live, how to find our way around, who are the people to meet. And it was such a wonderful life for both of us. Because if you lived in a country where you have been suppression after suppression, even reading a book, you have to read a Marxist book in a secret way. You cannot read a book in the park, you know, which is a Marxist. You have to hide in a basement or something to read a book, or even to see your friends, our comrades. It has to be an underground manner. I had led a double life of pretending I'm somebody and being myself. Then you come to a country where you can be yourself and you don't have to hide anything. It's a wonderful feeling. When Bill and I first went to see the editor of the Morning Star, my God, I was, there is the word. It was not Morning Star at that time. It was the Daily Worker. There in big letters, Daily Worker. I said, oh my God, can they do this here? Say that this is a communist paper. And one day, there was a big meeting for Valentina Tereshkova.
The special one.
Yes, I attended that. And I said, my God, this is a wonderful experience. For me to see a Russian woman speak openly, not hiding. In the Philippines, she will have to hide herself to be able to speak to a group. It's such a different experience, and this was so, you know, so amazing for me, so wonderful, that we can meet people and talk with them so freely and discuss and not be afraid of anything.
So you haven't met with any discrimination here?
Not really. Maybe a little discrimination because I'm not white. But the discrimination is very, very flimsy. I have never had any very disagreeable experience. But it is because I think I move in a circle of progressive people who are no longer racist.
But no political discrimination?
No political discrimination.
So this has really become your second home?
This has become our second home. And in fact, this country, living in this country, has given us opportunities which I would not have enjoyed in the Philippines. Because at that time, the Philippines was an anti-communist government and society. Being known as a communist, you will be ostracized. So you have to hide the fact that you're a communist. Here you can say you're a communist and people treat you the same way as they would treat somebody from the Labour Party or the Conservative Party. And you know, one thing that was good for us is that we could travel anywhere. And this is the opportunity for us to travel to the Soviet Union, to other socialist countries, because we want to see in reality, what do communist countries, what happens, or what kind of life do they live in communist countries? Because we want to know if the creed that we have followed, the creed that we have espoused, is a correct one, if it is something viable and something that we really can see in reality. We were able to do it only here.
Could I ask you about whether you are glad that you did what you did in the Philippines, or whether there is anything you regret about it all?
Well, I'm glad that I did what I did in the Philippines, because I did all that out of conviction. But if I were to live my life again, I will correct all the mistakes that we committed. And we committed plenty of mistakes. If I were to go back to the Philippines and start another revolution or uprising, we will not do it the way we did it, because we have learned from a lot of experience, you know. The way we did things, we were naive, we were primitive, committed analysis of things. We committed many mistakes. If we did it again, I could correct the mistakes we have done. Collectively.
What single mistake do you think was the worst mistake?
Our analysis of the situation. We thought at the time, when we waged the armed struggle, that there was a revolutionary situation in the Philippines. That was incorrect, because there was not. That is one thing. Another thing is that we were geographically isolated from our allies. We had no connection with the Soviet Communist Party. We had no connections with other Communist Party except the American Communist Party. We found that it is unity of people everywhere that could boost whatever you're doing, whatever good you think you're doing. It is connections and alliance from organization abroad that helps a lot. So our geographical isolation was part of our mistake. We should have, at that time, have sent cadres out to get the support of other parties. Because this is what we did, you know. That's what Bill and I did when we got here. We went to the Soviet Union. We went to the GDR, to Bulgaria, to Hungary, and other socialist countries.
How were you actually treated in the Filipino prison?
Well, what I'd say is we suffered what you call mental torture, but it was not done in a very crude or ruthless way. But when I say mental torture, we were deprived of literature or materials to read at the beginning, but we pressed on. We over the years we pressed on to be given reading materials. And another thing is we are of course isolated from our families and our friends. We were incomunicado when we were in prison. The only people who can visit us are our immediate relatives, father, mother, brother, sister, you know. And therefore we could not meet people we want to meet and see. And of course we do not have the advantage of traveling around and seeing things for yourself and improving yourself, you know, because traveling enhances your mental capacities and things like that. So all those joys and pleasures that a free person has, we did not enjoy that. That's what I call my mental torture. We are kept to ourselves. We are kept in cells. But the thing that kept us going is that we are not really criminals. We have a certain conviction. We are committed to that conviction, and we were determined to fight for what we believed. And even in prison, we did that.
Did you ever see each other in those 10 years?
Yes. Bill and I were allowed to see each other twice a month. I was the one, he was in the men's prison, I was in the women's prison. And I was allowed to go and visit him. They don't allow him to come and visit me because they're afraid he may try to escape. But you see the mentality of the male chauvinism of the prison officials. They think a woman will not escape. So I'm the one who is allowed to visit him. He's not allowed to visit me. So I see him twice a month, and we are allowed to eat together lunch. And I come there before lunch. We had lunch together, and at 4 o'clock, I'm taken back to the women's prison.
So you are not just talking from either side of bars.
No, there is a visiting room where there are tables and chairs. You can sit together and eat together, you know. And once in a while, they, you know, they just cut it. They cut the visits. So Bill and I would write letters and complain. And luckily, again for me, the superintendent of the men's prison is an old friend of mine, because he happened to be the classmate of my brother when my brother was studying. And he just told me, don't tell people we are old friends. So when I complain, you know, that we have not had our visits, he will see to it that we are given our visits.
What was the attitude of the ordinary criminals in the prison towards you?
They were very respectful towards us. In fact, they even showed their admiration for us. And they were even afraid of us because we thought that the Hooks have done a remarkable thing, fighting the government, you know, rebelling against the government. They hate the one thing in common with us and the other and the criminals is we both were against the government. They were against the government. We were against the government. So that was the common point between us. And because they saw the discipline we had in prison. Let me relate to you something that happened in prison where the prisoners saw the discipline among us. You know, Bill is in the one wing of the prison, of a building, and I'm in the other end of the prison. Now, his group is called the Politburo group because the general secretary, all the important cadres were placed there, and Bill was included there. Now, I was taken to the other wing, which is called the rebellion group, because the other women were placed there. There were 7 other women who were arrested and imprisoned. So there were 8 of us. In a prison of 8,000 men, we were the only 8 women who were brought there. Because at the beginning, the authorities thought we are very dangerous women. They thought of us as killers, you know, and terrorists, you know, like they think of these red liberation groups in Europe who kill and who ruthless, assassinate people like Leila, remember? And so we were there in prison, but they discovered our behavior. We are really like human beings, like themselves. We argue with them, of course, if they do things which are wrong, but they found we are very peaceful people. Then one day, we, you know, on Saturday evenings, we are all allowed to go into the yard and watch a film. All prisoners, including the criminals and us. But we are separated. The criminals are on this side. The political prisoners are on this side. Now, one day, the officer of the day sort of decided that they will not let the women out to see the film. I don't know what came into his head. He just wants to sort of punish us. So we were not being allowed to go out, and the film was about to begin. Luckily, the mayor of our group, which is Amado Hernandez, this man I was telling you about, the counselor, he was also in prison. He happened to go into, he was going to get something from his room, and I called him, you know, I shouted at him, and he came over and said, we are not being allowed to go out. He said, why? I don't know, but we have been here already for a long, long time, and the officer of the day would not let us out. Ah, said, he went to the officer of the day and said, why are you not letting the women out? Oh, I just don't want to let them out. Ah, so the mayor went to the yard. He called all the men prisoners to come back to their cells. There are 200 of them. We were 200 in prison. All the men came back into their cells and will not see the film. And the other prisoners saw that. They were asking, why are they going back to their cells? Because the women prisoners were not allowed to watch the film, so they'll not also watch the film. And the criminal group were very impressed. So do you know what the officer of the day did? He let us out. We were the first to come out and sit there. So the men will see that we are there. So all the men came out again and sat with us, you know, all the 200 prisoners.
You mentioned the Red Brigades and the groups in Europe which use tactics. They call themselves left-wing and use tactics of assassination. What are your own opinions about that? Those kind of tactics?
We never use such tactics. I think that those are left extremist tactics, and they are terrorists. We are not terrorists. If we want to stage an uprising or a rebellion or a revolution, we must get the people behind us. We must convince the people of the correctness of our aims and our concepts. Without that, we can never win. We must get the people right behind us. We must understand what the people want. And unless we...